With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and NA member FDIC.
Bouncing
with that.
Drop!
KCP in the middle. Bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double D.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right.
Oh! Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast. Home team Brandon Leak. We got our man, B-Dog, Brandon Harper, and the College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, all-time leading scorer, or all-time passing leader at Georgia Tech.
You know a lot of people. I'm just thinking about it. He know a lot of people.
He also was a baller, so he doesn't want to talk about his basketball stuff. He also was a pretty good basketball player, to say the least, in high school.
Well, just bring it up.
I'll bring it up if you won't bring it up, Mr. Humble. We're here on the Drop Step Podcast. Want to say thanks to Shaq Fu Radio, also to Spotify, and to also to fine folks at Apple Podcast. They're doing a good job of helping us get the message out there. Going to talk about some stuff going on in the NBA this week. Got a coach. Is he walking the plank? Are they setting him up for failure? We'll get to that. We have a man that's coming in. Will he be helping a man get some time off? We'll get to that. But first, we'll start with the Atlanta Hawks, who are, as we speak, are in the middle of a five-game West Coast road trip. Went to Portland, had a tough time, but went to overtime and learned a lesson. Game two, they go into Denver, into the Pepsi Center. And I guess Coke is better than Pepsi because the Southern boys gave those boys in Denver a ride for their money. Trae Young, 42 points, 8 three-pointers, and the Hawks win in Denver, 125-121.
You know, I'm always a believer that Coke is better than Pepsi.
Delta, you better say it at least.
Delta is better than everything else. You know, Chick-fil-A is better than most. So I'm not surprised that the Southern boys, known as the Atlanta Hawks, went into Denver, high elevation, hostile environment, one of the best teams in the West, a team that's going to contend or trying to contend for the championship, went in there, and they got a whole lot colder in their building than what they anticipated.
Yeah.
Because Ice Trae did his thing. Now, they're 1-1 on this road trip. I'm impressed, though, because they went up to the Rose Garden up in Portland, took that team into overtime. That home court advantage up there in Portland isn't what it used to be. But they took that squad in overtime. Obviously, they didn't finish it out because it was Dame Lillard time. But I'm impressed with their ability to push teams and to be able to contend in games that a lot of us don't think they should be in the first place.
Is that where you are right now, Harp, as far as pushing teams and staying in games and constantly getting better?
Absolutely.
Because last night what I saw, I was very pleased in the fact that defensively, the Denver Nuggets, outstanding. They don't give up 100 points, right? So now you were able to get that before going into the fourth quarter. The shots were falling. Can you guarantee that? Can you say that Trae is going to shoot 8 for 13? I don't know. But he will shoot up in the high 30s, three-point land. So that's going to continue. Are you going to get that out of Jabari Parker 10 games in? I would say yes. He's a dog around the rim, very, very efficient. And he can get to the basket. That's impressive. And we're still looking, in my opinion, for that third score. See, I'm not considering John Collins here yet because he's not.
Out.
So right now, I'm looking for that consistent third score that can get you the average of about 90 to 100 points a game in this NBA.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. You know, right now, I'm happy with the development, the way you're pushing guys, staying in the games, being down 12-0. Well, by the way, it's a four-quarter game, not letting that shake you up. There's a lot of positive going on right now for the Atlanta Hawks.
Hawks lost Kevin Huerter in the game, so that was even more Trae and Jabari Parker, who were a dynamic 1-2 punch. 42 for Trae, 20 for Jabari Parker. Efficient shots, Trae getting to the free throw line as well. And so, yeah, two guys who were doing it. I'm with you, Joe. Who's the third man? Kevin Huerter finally working his way back to health, getting to this point. Then he goes out injured again, so you're hoping it's not another reset for him.
Who's the guy who's going to step up? And for me, to your point about the third score, who's it going to be off the bench? And had the Hawks had their starting lineup the way that they wanted it to, with Herter and with John Collins, what would that mean for some of the other guys on the team? What would their roles be? Roles are still being hammered out right now. Hopefully they'll learn from that win as much as they learned from that loss in Portland. What I took out of the game was towards the end of the game, I felt like Denver started trying to keep up with the pace the Hawks were playing, and that is an excellent sign to get a young team to do a team like that.
I look at it like you got guys like DeAndre Bembry who have to take a bigger role. A lot of people, you know, you see him as the energy guy, but I think as far as him getting to the basket, him accumulating more points than he did last season, him taking that next step as a young guy, him understanding his role is really beneficial for this team and a lot of guys that are out. Now that you got Kevin Herter out, Cam Reddish, once again, is going to insert himself in that starting lineup.
I'm going to save that for last. Joe?
Yes, sir. Yeah, talk to me.
Okay, let's just get it out. We're going to have to wait till the season's over before we determine what's going on with Cam Reddish. Maybe he will, you know, kind of ramp things up before the end of the season. I'm thinking it's going to take a full year because he's got to go through his rookie ups and downs, and he really hasn't gotten off the runway yet. Are we at a point where we should be concerned? I think a lot of critics are already concerned. I'm not concerned. I'm just questioning what he should be because he's not making his three-pointers. Oh, he's not slashing to the basket. He's not making his free throws. He is rebounding, but we didn't draft him at number 10 to rebound. Right. So there's still a buffer and a process he has to go through. What should we be seeing? That's where I want to get with the collective, with the Hawks fans who believe Cam Reddish can be a part of this team.
I got one word, but go ahead, Joe.
Well, Hawk, you said it, that it's going to be increments, and it's going to be unforeseen increments because now the roles before John Collins, now you're going to have to redefine them again. After John Collins, you're going to have to redefine them again. Pre-All-Star, post-All-Star, when are you going to let him get his feet really, really wet for a true evaluation till you're the seventh guy off the bench? You're the sixth guy off the bench. You may be starting. It's going to continue to shift all the way till after the All-Star game. So what are we putting our finger on as far as your improvements? I don't think we need to put everything on the plate for Cam Reddish as viewers, saying, I want to see you improving your shooting, free throw, shuffling your feet, rebounding, everything. We got to look at one thing at a time. Hey, dude, I want to see you communicate on switches. I want to see you build up your confidence like you in the playground and say, let me hit 5 or 6 jumpers in a row.
You believe in non-verbal communication like I do, Joe.
I do, man, because some of these shots are Hail Marys.
It seems like he's pressing a little bit, which is understandable when you feel like there are things you can do and then they're not happening. I don't see the adjustments, and I don't know what the adjustments should be and what his role is. I don't know right now, as of right now, 9 games going on, 10 games in, what Cam Reddish should be doing. And that's my biggest problem.
I'm gonna tell you what I think he should be doing, but I'm going to start off with this one word, and it starts with a C. It's confidence. I don't like to talk about a man's mental state because I'm not that man, and attacking a man's mental state is something serious. But a lot of times when I see Cam Reddish, even when I see him attack the basket, which I want to see him do more of, because the worst thing that you can do or can happen to you when you go to the basket, you get fouled.
Right.
And you get the other guy in foul trouble. Who would have thought? The game of basketball is part of it. But the confidence aspect, even when I see him attack the basket, it's almost kind of like, I'm going, but should I go? Should I be here? He doesn't seem like he's confident with a lot of his moves.
I'd rather him be aggressive, turn the ball over being aggressive, miss a layup being aggressive, than to have moments of doubt, be slow rotating to Joe's point on defense, be aggressive. Get a foul that you don't need to get, being aggressive, then not being a guy who can assert himself in different ways.
There's a problem with the C word B-Dog just used. Didn't he use confidence?
He used it.
I've never seen a drill that said we call this the confidence drill. I've never seen you going to work on your game. And you're right. No. I agree with you, Hawk. I agree with you with what he needs. But how do you work on that? What drill? In the offseason, when you're 3-day road trip or you off for 3 days, you can say as a coach, come on in here, Cam, we're going to work on your confidence?
No.
I say this. It's almost that you wanted Cam Reddish to be drafted 20th instead of 10th. To home team's point that I think he's putting some pressure on him, that he's the number 10th pick.
He can't help that.
He can't help it, but he can help putting the world on his shoulders. And that's what I see. That's what it looks like to me. The guy's trying too hard. Go back to the playground. Go back to playing horse, playing loosey-goosey. He is not playing free basketball to me at all. Every single mistake is multiplied in his brain, in his body language. And if he misses a shot, it's going to affect him getting – it has been affecting him getting back on defense. It's affecting him right now. And how do you calm that down as a staff? Because I'm not willing to give up on it.
How do you calm that down and
get him more confident?
The pressure the collective fan base, is putting on him. I don't think his coaching staff or teammates are putting on him.
No.
He's got a really good situation, a team in his second year of reconstructing itself, to kind of let people grow and learn and make mistakes. So the pressure that is coming, it's not from within, which is a good thing. I don't think Michael Jordan would be as quiet as patient.
Well,
he's gone off
he's not quiet or patient with anybody. But Mike thinks everybody should be like him. That's the issue. But I also think the confidence aspect is not going to come from somebody else. I think at some point in time, and I know he's young, he's very young, and he's only so many games into his NBA campaign, but I think that confidence thing at some point in time has to come from somewhere within and say, you know what? I got to stop being so hard on myself. I have to – it's a way of life. People can see it when you walk on the court. People can see it when you attack the basket and things you do. Do we think that DeAndre Hunter lacks confidence?
No, sir.
Because you can see it.
And he's missed some shots. He started off pretty well. Then three games later, he was okay.
Right.
Last night, he was okay, but it looked like he was pointing back up. Very aggressive around the rack. Took some shots. Missed some shots. No, he looks aggressive. He looks confident.
And it would be safe to say, I'm pretty sure you two would agree, that you don't think DeAndre Hunter, as far as when it comes to the upside, is more talented than Cam Reddish, would you?
Yeah, but talent is a dirty word.
No.
The T word.
But I mean, as far as from the standpoint of if we're looking at their games.
But the problem is, Cam's,
I would say so.
You think DeAndre is?
Yes.
Cam's game.
I mean, right now
is based on perception of what he's perceived to be.
Right.
When you look at what he did in college, the numbers aren't eye popping.
No, they're not.
And so it's all on talent and perception.
Right.
DeAndre Hunter played for 4 years in college, had a body of work, helped a team win a national championship, and now it's coming in, looks like more NBA ready, obviously, than Cam Reddish.
We all know that we got to give Cam Reddish more grace and more room. Because of, like you said, DeAndre, we talked about this before it happened. DeAndre came in a little bit more polished. He's a little older. He's been through the ring. Like you said, he's won a national championship. Cam was there for a year. He didn't play every game. He was battling injury. There's a little bit more grace and a little bit more time that we got to have for Cam Reddish.
Yes, all right, Harp, I agree, but it scares me to death. Why? Because a little bit more grace and time for his confidence is what we're talking about. You know, so most often we use those two words as about skills, maybe dribbling, you know, free throw, you know, helping out rotationally wise, getting used to travel in the NBA, the lifestyle. But here we are talking about confidence and grace and time for that. That's why it's alarming.
No, I get it. I'm not negating that. But I, like you said earlier,
it is intangible.
Right, it is intangible. Right. And the intangibles are dangerous.
Right.
They are very dangerous. It's not like he got to get in the weight room, he need to bulk up a little bit.
Yes, you can, Cam.
Right.
Yes, you can. Moving on, a man who can do. Paul George coming back from his offseason men's, and now he's part of a Clipper team that's going to be one of the better teams in the NBA. Almost perfect timing when we got into the load management talk last week with Kawhi Leonard. If they're going to continue upon that course, which I have every reason to believe Doc Rivers doesn't care what you, me, anybody else thinks about how he's going to handle Kawhi Leonard, they're going to do. Perfect time for Paul George to, one, come in, get on the floor with Kawhi Leonard, but on those nights when Kawhi needs to sit, now the Clippers have another weapon in Paul George.
This is going to be the NBA version of wrestling. You know, when you do tag team matches?
Yes.
You know, tag me in. I go out, you go in. This is how this is going to be for the Clippers, for, you know, after they get their little chemistry down, you'll see Paul and and Kawhi on the floor some nights just to get the chemistry down. But as you go forward, you're going to see, tag, you're in, I'm out. Hey, I'm in, you're out. This is how it's going to play out, because they're going to manage Paul George as well and those shoulders. They just have to.
When do you get the chemistry then?
Are they good enough to get by with the hokey pokey? Put one Clipper in, one Clipper out.
No, and that's why I agree with you, Harper, but when? After the All-Star break, you're going to start doing this in April. It's for saying, now I need you guys to be on the court 5 minutes and 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to see who's going to be the guy, who are we running sets for, where does Kawhi, because remember now, they hadn't been practicing together now yet. Do those two know their sweet spot? Where would you like it? When you pin down on the screen, where do you want me to come off the ball at?
I think if I had to guess, this is just a guess.
Okay.
I would say after All-Star break.
Okay, yeah.
If I'm guessing, I would say after All-Star break, you'll probably see more of them together on the floor to strengthen that chemistry as you go into, you know, March and April and you prepare for the playoffs. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of that before the All-Star
break. And I asked this question now, and I had the same opinion of the Warriors last couple of years. Doesn't matter where they finish. And I asked that question because you play the season so that you can get the best possible seed so you can have home court advantage. I don't think home court advantage affects Kawhi Leonard. So does it matter if they're second or third or one or four? Because Kawhi Leonard, if he's healthy when he gets to the postseason,
right,
will it matter?
Right.
And then if he and the Clippers are just above the Lakers anyway, they're going to be playing in the same building anyway.
And at the same time, they're a team that's built on defense, and have defense will travel. When you're a defensively built team like that, your game can go, you can play on the moon if you could. Right. So I don't really, if they fall to a four seed or a five seed, I don't think that really matters, because that doesn't dictate championships for that team in the way that they're built.
I think it matters a lot, because he called out Kawhi Leonard. That's a superstar. And we all know that superstars' games are going to travel on the road.
Right.
So now you're looking at the support group, and you're right about the defense, but where are you going to get your scores from as far as role players? That doesn't travel. That rim, okay, somehow in history, has shown us that on the road, that rim closes up a little bit from the three-point guy. All of a sudden, Patrick Beverly will have 21 points at home, okay, and then go down to 7 away. And that happens to the role players as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more concerned about Eric Gordon, him getting injured. Can you still find, every team is going to be, in my opinion, can I find my third score?
But the thing is, like I said, have defense will travel. Their defense leads to their offense. Good like point. I said, if I can play defense at home, I can play defense anywhere, because that's my calling card. That's my bread and butter. That's how my team is built. So if I can get steals, I can get my hands in the passing lane, I can get blocks. Montrezl Harrell, Pat Beverly, Patrick Peterson, who seems like he's been in the league for forever.
Right.
Those guys, I think, are travel warriors. They understand the DNA of that team, and they realize that, you know what, we're not young guys. We've been here before. We've been on the road before. We have enough time underneath our belt, and we understand the makeup of this team and the way Doc wants us to play. And we have our two superstars who set the tone. We'll be fine.
The load management question, we kind of got into it last week. I think this is a little unfair with this guy. And I'm talking about Kawhi Leonard, because he does have a knee issue. It's clear that it got out and he didn't want it to get out, but there's something going on. So if Doc Rivers and the Clippers training staff has a schedule for this man, or even him, nobody knows his body more than he knows himself. And we saw what happened last year when he sat and only played in 60 games. It made a difference. Isn't it better for him? Isn't it better for the Clippers? Isn't it better for all of us to get the best Kawhi Leonard we can have in the postseason if they put him on load management?
Not all of us, not the fans and the opposing.
Well, that's what a double-edged sword.
Not the fans.
I'm talking about for the playoffs.
For the playoffs, yes, home team. But again, Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers. 2-year deal, didn't he sign?
Yes.
That's why they cannot play Kawhi Leonard. They can't disgruntle this man. He can't be all of a sudden, it doesn't match up with what my doctors are saying and not aligned to what y'all, aligning to what y'all promised me about giving me time off. Because when these 2 years are up, I'm gone. So that's why the Clippers are going to oblige it. Anything he asked for, no doubt about it. But as far as him being healthy, please, home team, don't do that to me with the knee.
I'm just asking.
I'm just asking you.
If it doesn't work, and we saw him dragging it around in the finals, he was still
2,000 years ago.
But guess what? But hold on. This, like I said, this also works in his favor because it just worked. He won a title with a lesser talented staff. Going, no disrespect to Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet.
What worked, Mr. Harper? He just can't. I mean, he was hurt off the groin. He was hurt coming out of the hip, coming from the Spurs. He was hurt coming from that offseason to a whole year's, a whole long offseason, and they gave him load management. Now again?
But he was, but you got to understand, in San Antonio, he was disgruntled with the doctors.
Right.
He didn't like that a lot of, see, Kawhi.
Because he wasn't healthy.
Right, but you understand that Kawhi is also a very private individual to where he don't like a lot of things leaked out in the media. He doesn't like certain things being said about him, and that was one of the reasons why he wanted out. And you, if you looked at his courtship throughout the summer, he would all, the report was he would always tell the Lakers representatives, the Clippers representatives, or anybody that was in the running to get his services, it was, hey, I don't want to hear about anything that we talked about out in the public right. because it can ruin your chances to land me. He is a very private individual. And I think San Antonio mistook that.
I think it's okay because there's legitimately something going on. It's not a guy who thinks he's you know, his stuff doesn't stink or they're trying to treat him special. He's got something going on with his knee and it doesn't work. And I think the NBA needs him in the postseason. The ratings were down last year in the postseason. And a lot of it had to do with LeBron James being out of the right. playoffs due to injury and the Lakers not making it to the postseason. But you don't want primetime games in the playoffs coming off of a down year and Kawhi Leonard is not on the floor for the Clippers. That's bad for the NBA, it's bad for the Clippers, and it's bad for all of us. This man might have it bad. Are they doing him wrong? Are they doing him dirty? David Fizdale, are they setting him up in New York? What's he supposed to do? What are the expectations? How's he supposed to coach? Where is he supposed to be in the East? How much time is he supposed to have? I can keep going asking another 30,000 questions. The point is, what is the future of David Fizdale? Because now you're starting to see these reports coming out of New York. It feels like they are setting him up or paving the way to blame him for what the Knicks aren't doing.
I don't know where to start when it comes to the Knicks.
Dysfunctional?
They're bad from the top.
Oh, no. That goes without saying. What did you expect to be?
Please, sir,
who did you expect to be?
No, look at me for that question.
Joe didn't do that. Don't yell at Joe.
That's my question.
No. I'm looking at Joe, but it's not directed to Joe.
That's my question. I'm with you, Harp.
Home team, tell me, what do you expect to be if you're the New York Knicks? Do you expect to be a 1 or 2 seed in the East?
It's simple to me. It's the curse of Oakley. Until you do right. By Charles Oakley, James Dolan, everything you even think about is going to fail.
Hold on, no. What was the curse that was a little what was the dude in Houston? He said he had the rapper in Houston. He said he put a curse over the
base god.
Yes, he said I'm gonna put a curse over the Houston Rockets. There is a Charles Oakley curse. Over.
I don't know what to do.
The New York Knicks.
They had money to spend. They didn't get Kevin Durant. They didn't get Kawhi Leonard. You know, if they get Kawhi, if they are the Brooklyn Nets, they're just fine. If they get, you know, RJ Barrett and they get those two free agents, you know, they're a power in the East. But because of their raggedy professionalism, nobody wants to go there of ilk, and now R.J. Barrett is going to have to spend the first 4 or 5 years of his career, I think, in a bad space. And I don't think it's the coach's fault. I think David Fizdale is a good coach. People are going to have a problem
really
with his style, but I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But you're only going to run so fast with the horses you're given, and they're just not constructed to do a lot of damage in the Eastern Conference right now.
And they're not letting him shop for the groceries.
Good
so
point.
Whatever you bring in to me, I have to coach it up, and I'm going to have to try to make do, stay positive, getting these guys to believe, knowing that somebody is talking about behind my back. Imagine him going in and telling you, hey, you box out, or I'm sitting you, you running some sprints, or I'm trying to discipline a player. A player's going to really tune all the way in to Coach Fizdale with upper management really on his back like that. One more thing that's disappointing, Harper and home team, the leaking part about it. I don't necessarily mind you up there trying to have a decision or have a meeting on Coach Fizdale or the future or your expectations. But to call press conferences, to let it leak that clearly and what your directions are, that's irresponsible.
It's bad. And I've seen it happen here in Atlanta. Once those things start happening, the coach, there is no solid ground. The foundation, the sand is running out. The foundation starts to tilt. And then you start looking at the record and they're at the bottom. So it makes it even easier to dismiss a coach when the results aren't coming.
You know what the bottom line of this whole thing is? The New York Knicks will not be anything. They will not get anybody. Look, I'm looking right into the camera when I tell y'all this. The New York Knicks will not do anything, and they will not lure anybody there to Madison Square Garden until James Dolan is away from that team.
He's not going to sell it. He owns the building.
You will not land a thing. There will be not one superstar that will even consider the New York Knicks until James Dolan packs up his stuff and he moves as far away from Madison Square Garden as possible.
And look at the teams that got the free agents. Look at Steve Ballmer out there. How do you think that had an impact? Well, look at where KD went and where Kawhi. How do you think management impacted those decisions of the stars and all-stars and the stars of stars going to where they went?
It's just as simple right here. Now, stars still want to be in New York. They're going to go to New York.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go to Brooklyn.
There you go. Because remember now, Kevin Durant, it wasn't about any recruiting visit. How he loved the situation and what upper management was telling him, because he didn't even meet with those guys. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be in Brooklyn. So their worst fears are about to come true when you're saying the Knicks, because across the way, that's going to be, are they going to get a championship or likely favored to get a championship before the Knicks? No. There's going to be something that has to be done about that, and I don't know. I don't see it coming, because R.J. Barrett, to your point, in 4 years, what's going to keep him there? What's going to have Zion Williamson or Ja Morant or somebody, Anthony Davis, whoever you want to call some of the up in Karl Anthony Towns, when their contract is up, to want to go to the New York Knicks?
They want to come to Atlanta. They want to be playing with Ice Tray. Right. Want to be playing with Kevin Huerter, Dirty Red. They want to be playing with JC. That's what they want to be doing. That's what I would be thinking about if I would. I wouldn't be going to talk about going and play with the Knicks.
It's not going to happen, New York. I'm sorry. You know, the allure of Madison Square Garden will always be there because it's the Garden. But there's no allure with that team. The good old days, whatever was you consider the good old days, it's done. It's over. Put it to bed. Until your owner, James Dolan, like I said, until he leaves, you'll get no superstar in New York.
Do we have an explanation of why they traded away Porzingis?
He didn't like the team.
Okay.
He didn't like them.
Just for confirmation.
He didn't like Dolan's face. It was a lot of things he didn't like.
Okay.
Get me out of here.
See?
Please. Thank you. I'm not playing for you guys.
Man wanted to go somewhere and look at him. He's in Dallas with Mark Cuban thriving.
Speaking of that, two surprise teams, in my opinion. In the East and the West, Luka Doncic off to a fantastic start for the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs off to a great start, 7-2 in their first 9 games. And then over in the East, Miami, when Jimmy Butler showed up after the season started, they have been on a course where it looks like they're going to be near the top for a while. Your thoughts on what those franchises are doing? Now, it'll be interesting, I think, more so in the West as the season goes along. Mm-hmm. But I think that's even more important that Dallas got off to the start that they got, because it's going to be a bloodbath the rest of the way. And the fact that they got off to a good start, they have some wins in the bank that people cannot take away from them.
You know, I told Houston this, and I told Book this. I said, my sleeper for coach of the year might be Rick Carlisle in Dallas because of the way he has that tandem of Luka and Kristaps really playing and the rest of that supporting cast. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people question how Kristaps would work in Dallas. And I'm like, Dallas and San Antonio knows how to work with a lot of those foreign players. That's what they love to do. They thrive in those environments. You know, you have Steve Nash. Dirk is the king of Dallas. He's the king of Texas, one of them at least. He'll never have to go anywhere in Texas and pay for anything ever again.
Right.
They love those type of guys, and that's how Luka's going to be when his career is over, and I think that's what Kristaps is going to turn into. I don't know if they're going to win a title as time goes on, but they're definitely going to be two guys who I think could possibly have Hall of Fame careers when it's all said and done.
Stability.
Absolutely.
Teams. The Miami Heat, come on, championship. Pat Riley and that organization, they're going to do it the right way. Championship coach, no doubt about it. That's going to be awesome. And Rick Carlisle, same thing, championship coach, yeah. Great owner that'll do anything for the players. So now you have the potential to land a guy like Jimmy Butler, although it was a trade, he's got to agree to some things. And now Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis might not be a superstar to say, I want to go play with those three, but what about a third score? They're going to always be able to entice somebody to come over there and say, let's come in this organization, and maybe now we have the dream team, so to speak. So I like where those two teams are heading, and it's there to stay.
And
it's not flukish.
To be a toughness. You know, I think there's a misconception about Luka because of him coming over from Europe that it was just going to be style over grittiness. He's gritty enough, and I think he's tougher than a lot of people give him credit for. And then the Jimmy Butler effect, it seems like there's some tough juice in Miami, that they're going to be a tough out. They seem like they are a rugged team mentally as well as late in ball games, where they're going to be a problem. And I think Miami is going to send somebody home early. I don't know if it'd be Philly. They might not have enough firepower for the Bucks, but they might send somebody home early in the playoffs this year.
The way that Miami is constructed, and Jimmy Butler's role seems as though we know that he can score the basketball. But even, like I said, even when he was here in Atlanta a few weeks ago, his stat line was a little all over the place. He had 8 points, 11 assists. 10, you know, it was weird to see that stat line next to Jimmy Butler's name. I don't think he's the type of guy that really has to they need him to score, but they don't need him to score as much because you have Goran Dragic and you have Tyler Hero.
He's working out well. Rook's doing some nice
things. That backcourt?
Yeah, and then finding that diamond in the rough. Where did none come from?
Street.
See, that's organizational. That's from scouting department. Then they're doing their due diligence and saying you can come and fit in.
Yep.
And you would want a leader like Jimmy Butler on your team because of what you just said, Harp. If it's not scoring, he's going to demand some things. You're not coming out here and not giving effort.
Right.
You're not loafing and not going for after loose balls. Your shot may not fall, but you're going to play hard.
Right.
That's what Jimmy Butler is going to demand for any team that he plays on.
And that's why they loved him in Philly, because
yes,
he embodied what Philadelphia was. That's why Embiid loved him.
Yes.
That's why other guys, that city embraced him, because he just embodied that tough, gritty work ethic that a lot of teams would love.
And they chose Tobias Harris over him.
I understood why they did it, though.
Oh, you do?
Well, because he's younger. He's a better shooter. His game is a little bit more versatile than Jimmy's, I think, for the long run. I know he's been struggling a little bit with his shot, but I think because he is a few years younger and I think he's a better shooter, if I look at their numbers over like the last few years, they've been basically the same.
Is Harris that dog on the other end of this court? That's all I would ask.
Time will tell.
We're going to find it out. It's going to be fun. It'll be fun to think about that and talk about it next week. That'll do it for the Drop Step podcast. I'm home team, B-Dog Brandon Harper, the College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, and the all-time leading passer at Georgia Tech. Also a great basketball player in his day.
That's
Joe Hamill. This
is great, man.
You going to do it or you want me to do it?
You got it.
All right. I'll do it. I'll pull up to show what you did. I want to say thanks to Houston and also to A+. We need to give her a nickname, the COO here on the
What they call
tip.
It? They call it Amber Alert.
Amber Alert. Well, that sounds like that can be trouble, though.
Or Swiss Army Knife.
Here you go. We'll come up with something. I'll call it the COO, the Swiss Army Knife, the Amber Alert. Amber, we thank her for her time. We'll see y'all next time on the Drop Step Podcast.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on the YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports Set. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.